Thought for sure I would see a change, but everything stayed the same without you. I took a breath and I called your name, and 20 minutes back it came, and I heard your name echoing on my brain. I chased a rainbow over a hill. I knew it wouldn't be long until I'd find my pot of gold on the other side. As I scaled that spectrum lace, at the end when I saw your face, and I realized my pot of gold at the end was you. I walked around a flower bed, and visions of you flying through my head as I caught a sweetness of your perfume. I filled my lungs and I closed my eyes, and I felt the shivers building up inside as I lost myself in the memory of you.
Shall continually be in my mouth. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us rejoice in him forever, in his name forever. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. I'm Evangelist Linda Kazaris. I'll be your host this evening with my special guest. A little bit of unexpectedness, my friend Maria is traveling with her husband right now, and we send traveling graces and mercies to them. And she divinely led, introduced me to my guest tonight, Rob Anderson, and I'm excited, even as a last minute, we got this together to give God glory and all the honor and praise. So we thank him tonight. We bless his name. We lift him up. We give him glory. He alone is worthy to be praised. He deserves all the glory, honor, and praise. He deserves our mouth being used to give him praise and glory and to worship him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my best friend. Hallelujah. He's not the King soon to come. He is already coming to our hearts. He is presently in our hearts, and in his spirit is in us. Amen. So I have had a pastor in Philadelphia that said he's the soon coming King, not the King soon to come. He's the soon coming King. Hallelujah. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we bless his name tonight. And I haven't given a shout-out to my global listeners in such a long time. By the way, I'm Evangelist Linda Kazaris, and you're listening to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. I never thought we would ever be international, but God has blessed it to be that way, and I praise him for that. He's handpicked these nations to tune into us from time to time on demand. And we are on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. So right now I want to thank our listening audience, those that listen from China and Mexico, Mongolia, Brazil, and Peru, Australia, the Netherlands, Togo, and France, Germany, Tobago, Norway, South Korea, Trinidad, Ghana, Israel, London, the United Kingdom, Vietnam, Sweden, Egypt, Canada. We give God praise for you. We give a shout out to South Africa, Thailand, Dubai, Pakistan, Belgium, Kenya, the Philippines, Malaysia, Nigeria. We thank you for tuning in. New Zealand, India, Argentina, Russia, Namibia, Somalia, Croatia, Barbados, Jamaica, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Turkey, and Slovakia, and the great nation, the United States of America. I think all of these nations have some greatness, but because I'm in the United States of America, the nation that was founded on biblical principles, long before I was born, long before anybody in the White House was born, the Lord has had his hand on this nation. And this nation is a great nation because of that, a great country that we live in. So I thank all the listeners from the United States of America. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory for you. So I just want to, for the first time, welcome Robert Anderson to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. This is his first time being on the broadcast, and I'm nervous every time I go on. I mean, I get saliva caught in my throat. I get a little nervous. I'm not reading anything except for when I read the nations that listen in, because I don't want to miss anybody. And so we're in the presence of the Lord this evening, because we have a great musician that's going to minister to us. Robert Anderson is a guitarist, singer, songwriter from Cedarburg, Wisconsin, a small northern suburb of Milwaukee. Robert has been married to his wife, Mary, for 31 years. Praise God. Hallelujah. Congratulations for that. And they have two grown children, Stephen and Margaret. Robert has been playing guitar for 40 years and began writing songs in his senior year of high school. He has been influenced over the years by such acoustic artists as James Taylor, Paul Simon, Dan Fogelberg, and Cat Stevens. After several years of playing behind closed doors, he began performing at coffee houses during his college years, co-writing with other stage mates. Nurturing his love for Christian music, Robert joined his contemporary church choir in 1996 and soon after began composing original Christian music. A few of his pieces were performed by his choir and shared with other churches as well. After several years of playing in a rock band, God called Robert to leading a music ministry. He recorded his CD of original Christian music titled Take Me to the Sun, and has since become the worship leader for a local ministry called Freedom in Yeshua Ministries, and also for his local church, Emmanuel Lutheran, as the contemporary band director. Robert's music can be sampled and purchased at his website at www.robandersonmusic.com. So I've introduced him to you, and he is a worship leader, and I hope that those that are listening are true worshipers. The Bible says we must worship God in spirit and in truth, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So we give him praise tonight. So right now, for the first time, I've introduced to you Robert Anderson. The mic is all yours, sir. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Linda. That was just beautiful, beautiful introduction. And again, Robert Anderson is my name. And the first song that you heard prior to her introduction was called Without You. That was actually one of the first songs that was ever composed by me again in my senior year of high school. Kind of came from the place of beautiful pictures and postcards on my wall and just enjoying the creation that that God has given all of us. And but in enjoying creation, if we don't enjoy the Creator as well, it's almost a moot point to say that this creation is beautiful without the Creator. So I honor him with that song. Again, the song is called Without You. I want to thank Linda very much for this opportunity to be on this broadcast. And also, as she mentioned, my dear friend Maria Schaefer, who is the director of Freedom in Yeshua Ministries here in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Yeshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. Her ministry website is fiyministries@gmail.com. And Maria is a wonderful Christian artist, beautiful painter of God's creations and of heavenly scenes that she's been given the visions of. She's an author. She has a new book out. She is a Christian counselor. She is a speaker, attending many conferences over the years. And she's just an amazing godly woman, and asked me to be here in her stead to hopefully minister to you folks, all you listeners. And I'm very humbled knowing how many listeners could possibly be attending this broadcast this evening. So I do wish you a very heartfelt and wonderful evening, the day the Lord has made, and we rejoice and we are glad in it, aren't we? So yeah, a little bit about myself. As she had mentioned, married and have two grown children. I'm the worship leader for our local church here, Emmanuel, and also for Freedom Yeshua Ministries. I do a lot of conferences for Maria and her ministry, and weekly at our church. And it is a great joy, I have to say, and a privilege for me to do that. It's actually a lifelong dream come true. I remember when I was a young boy attending church, just about the time when contemporary music started to become popular in the 70s, and seeing these acoustic guitars and harmony singers and worshiping God. And I thought, I like that. I would really love to be able to do that someday. And so that was placed in my heart as a very young 5-year-old. I think I received my first guitar when I was about 13 years old, and started to play and really enjoyed it through bloody fingers and trying to play with bandages on my fingers. But I wouldn't give up. It was something I was just so passionate about, and just enjoyed so much. And again, the influences of seeing those musicians as a young person really formed me into wanting that type of thing for myself, to minister to other people. And so as an adult, it is such an honor and, like I say, a dream come true to be able to do that, not only to share my music and share the music of many others, but to glorify God in the process, to make sure that he is glorified, that his word coming through song, coming through music, it gets into the hearts of worshipers. And it's a wonderful responsibility and certainly a love and a treasure in my life. So I'm all very, very grateful for that opportunity. It was interesting because my daughter has been singing at Emmanuel for a number of years, and her, at the time, fiance was the bass player. And my wife started to sing in that contemporary band also. And I became, kind of unbeknownst to me, the co-director of that said band when the director had left to go on to another church, and Emmanuel had asked me to come in and hired me to be the co-director of our band. It was shortly before that, as Linda said, I had been in a rock band for about 8 years, and I really felt the Lord tell me, you need to give this up. I have something else for you. And within 2 weeks, I was hired on as the co-director of our Christian band at church. And so, you know, God, I believe if you are obedient to him, if you listen to him, that he will bless you. And he certainly did me on that day. So since about 2016, January of 16, I have been minister of music for Emmanuel. We have, you know, a great privilege and a great calling to lead the music. And I think music is such a powerful medium for people. You know, we can be ministered in so many different ways, as I have been over the course of my life. I'm not a teacher. I would certainly refer to myself as a student more than a teacher. I'm an ordinary guy. I have a small contracting company. I'm self-employed. I have a family. I have friends. I just happen to write songs, and it doesn't make me special necessarily, but it makes me really try to be true to my calling. And music, as I said, I think is such a powerful medium for anybody. You know, I've gotten so many influences over the years through different pastors at churches, through teachings on Christian TV stations, through Maria and her ministry, through Bible studies, and just putting myself in the Word. I had a dear friend once tell me that I was the most God-soaked person that they had ever met, and what a tremendous compliment. But yet, I cannot be a God-soaked person without soaking myself in God. And I'm not perfect by any stretch, very, very, very far from it. But I try to listen for the discernment and help others through it. Certainly anything that we've gone through, any of us, any pain, any sorrow, any trials, and even any good times in our lives, I think we are compelled to share with others who are hurting and to give them hope through the knowledge of what we learn through our trials. And again, music for me is a big part of that type of a ministry. One of the things that I wanted to touch on this evening was, as a songwriter, to kind of give you a little insight as to where songwriting comes from. How does it happen? Where do songs come from? And it's always a bit of a mystery to me. I, years ago, you know, wrote contemporary sort of, you know, songs, acoustic songs, singer-songwriter type songs. But it wasn't until fairly recently, I think about the year 2000, that I really started into writing Christian music. I had a roommate in college who was a fairly carnal person back in the day, but he has since become a devoted Christian man. And I remember in the year 2000, he spoke a prophecy over me saying that I would be writing and performing and ministering my own Christian music, which at the time I thought was kind of ridiculous because I was so ill-prepared to do that. But I took those words to heart, and it's amazing how over the years, how many songs have just come to me that God has put in my heart and in my mind to put to paper or pen to paper rather, and fingers to guitar strings and make this music happen. It's funny. Sometimes I will go into my bathroom to write because the acoustics are really pretty phenomenal. If you don't have a studio, the bathroom will double very nicely as a studio with the acoustics, the echo in there. And so it's always kind of interesting to play and write in the bathroom. Now, don't get the wrong idea. There's just finger picking going on in there, certainly. And I just wait for, you know, for the Lord to sort of speak to me. Some songs, I have to tell you, are arduous. Sometimes a song can take months and maybe even years to write and to finish, and others literally minutes or hours. I remember I was a young married person with two young, very, very young children, had no money to take my wife out to dinner or get her an anniversary gift or anything, but I had a half hour before she got home from work, and what was I going to give her for our anniversary? Well, I went into the bathroom and I wrote a song in 30 minutes, and that was my gift to her. So sometimes songs can come quickly, but it's not always the case. I recall I wrote a song for my daughter, which was just played for her wedding. It was the father-daughter dance, as a matter of fact. 2 months ago, I had the honor of dancing with her to a song that I had wrote, which is called God Be With You Tonight. It is on that CD called Take Me to the Sun, Sun spelled capital S-O-N. And by the way, robandersonmusic.com is where you can sample music, you can purchase downloads, and you can purchase CDs from that website. But the song God Be With You Tonight, as I said, was one I wrote for my daughter when she was very young. And it started out just as a funny little bedtime song for her. And she was probably 3 or 4 or 5 or something like that. And the song was just about, you know, how much I love her and how I would watch her sleep. And I'd brush my fingers through her hair and kiss her on the cheek and that type of thing. And but I knew it wasn't complete. And it, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years later, I had an idea for a bridge, which basically says, where will you go? Who will you be? The limitless sky is yours as far as you can see. Soon you will fly so far away. I'm just grateful that I have you even just for today. And so that's the bridge that came to me. And I remember I was driving in the car at the time, and I literally had to pull over to write these words down because it came all in one fell swoop. The words just came to me. And when I told Meg, I finished your song for you, and I played that part, that bridge, she was furious. She was, Daddy, I'm not leaving you. Don't worry, I'm not leaving you. So it was just funny how when I presented that part of the song to her, she was not happy with me. But as all things happen, you know, it's a child's job to grow up and to move on with her life. And the one wish I had for her wedding was that she would dance with me to that song that I wrote for her. So it was a very, very special moment to be able to do that. And, you know, so many other songs have come in similar fashion where I would have an idea for a song and God would put something on me while I was working during the workday, and I would literally have to stop. I remember I put music to the Lord's Prayer, and it just was like it was downloaded into my head. And this was before smartphones, cell phones. This was, boy, this is probably about the year 2000 or so. And I literally like jotted notations. I'm not the world's best writer of notes, and just tried to remember the melody that came to me. And I raced home after work and I got on my guitar, and thankfully I remembered it. Beautiful song. I would say that's the only song on the album that I didn't actually write the lyrics for. Jesus Christ, of course, wrote the lyrics for the Lord's Prayer, but came to me. And on the recording on the CD, you will hear my daughter Meg playing flute and her dear friend Natalie playing violin and the prelude of that song, and just such a beautiful job. So I hope you have a chance to listen to that one as well. Sometimes songs can be from a very personal standpoint. There's a couple songs on the CD that have come from places of pain, come from places of just crying out to God. One is I Have Placed My Trust in You, which you will hear later on in the broadcast. Happens to be another song that I started to write in the bathroom. But it's a song that really compares me and compares us as a society to who Jesus is. And I just got that contrast in my head, how we, you know, rush around and we fight and we get negative and we do all these things to try and get somewhere in the world. And that compared to Jesus, who just shows us love, shows us compassion, gives us second chances, just loves us unconditionally. And the song contrasts, again, humanity with divinity, and that in the form of our Savior Jesus. And so, you know, that idea came to me again, just divinely. It's amazing how these ideas come, not necessarily as often as I would like to. I don't write a lot of songs, but when I do, they are definitely inspired, and it's just such a wonderful, wonderful place to be when God gives you, like, again, downloads something to you. It's a gift. It really is. And not only does it minister to other people when they hear it, it ministers to me as I'm writing it and as I'm teaching myself it and as I'm playing it over and over again, how a song will then get stuck in my head and will just lift me to a new place. So God offers those songs to me first to minister to me and then to share them and then hopefully minister to other people. Another song that you'll hear a little bit later in the broadcast came from a place of a lot of pain, and I will share that testimony with you a little bit later. It's called I Am the Vine, and that is actually taken directly out of Scripture. Some of the way that I write sometimes is I basically bring music to the Bible. I bring music to the voice of Jesus as he speaks in the New Testament. And the song, I Am the Vine, again from John 15, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And, you know, abide in me, abide in my vine, and you will have life and have life abundantly, and you'll bear much fruit. So there are several songs on the CD that come from the place of Jesus speaking to us. And so I'm, again, just very grateful for that type of inspiration that he gives, again, through the Word. I remember there was an episode of MASH, and I'm sure a lot of you remember the program MASH back in the 70s and 80s. And Father Mulcahy got compliments on his sermon one particular day. And Father Mulcahy said, you can't lose when you have good material. And so I certainly take that to heart. You know, when you are writing music to Scripture, you have the best material possible. So it's, again, a blessing for me to be able to do that. There's a song, again, the title track of the CD, Take Me to the Sun. It's, again, capital S-O-N. I wrote that song in, it would have been Easter Sunday of 2004. And I remember it pretty distinctly because I had taken my kids and family down to Florida several times when they were younger, but, you know, we always drove in our minivan and there just wasn't room for my guitar. So you typically didn't bring it on vacation. Well, I had the strong inkling that this particular trip I was supposed to bring my guitar, that there was a song waiting for me down there. So I was obedient. I threw my guitar in, and Easter Sunday 2004, we went to a church service. Now, I had been playing guitar and singing in a contemporary choir for years, and of course, one of the days that we always play was Easter Sunday, and so I think being in the congregation as opposed to being in the band or the choir gave me a new perspective on what Easter is. You know, as I'm playing and trying to play my best and sing my best and rifling through music, that kind of took some of the attention away from the beauty of that Easter Sunday ceremony. And so as being in the congregation that particular Sunday was a blessing for me because it allowed me to really contemplate, to really absorb what the resurrection of Jesus Christ meant to me. And I had this vivid, very, very vivid image in my head that it was a caterpillar emerging from a cocoon and becoming a butterfly, being transformed completely into a new being. And I remember right after service, I raced back to the beach house that we had rented and got my guitar, and within 2 hours, that song was done. Again, just completely downloaded. I literally could not write the lyrics fast enough. And, you know, songs, there's a lot to a song. Anybody that has ever written a song themselves knows, you know, there's rhythm. There's melody, there's harmony, there's lyrics, there's instrumentation. And of course there's meaning. You know, anybody can write a song, you know, yeah, and have some strumming guitar to it. But in my estimation, you know, the most meaningful songs are ones that have lyrics that cut through the heart and evoke, you know, very specific emotions, and especially Christian music, where you want to glorify the Savior. And so songwriting, that's one of the reasons why it doesn't come easy. But this particular song came to me so fast that I had trouble keeping up with it. The chord progression, the melody of it, the words, again, Take Me to the Sun, capital S-O-N. Talk about, you know, having a song stuck in my head all the way, drive back from Florida to Wisconsin. You know, I'm singing that song to myself and how it ministered to me long before it had a chance to minister to anybody else. Kind of an ancillary story to Take Me to the Sun. My daughter, who was 18 at the time, and my wife decided that they were going to go and get tattoos. Now, I don't begrudge anybody that wants to get a tattoo. That's your business. I have no problem with it. I did not, however, have much excitement about my daughter and my wife getting tattoos, but they assured me they were getting them anyway. So when they got back from the tattoo shop and my daughter showed me her tattoo, I mean, I basically started bawling. It was an amazing tribute. She had a butterfly tattooed on her left shoulder. Beautiful, kind of a purplish, bluish, lavenderish butterfly, just beautiful. And underneath the butterfly was the inscription, which is the chorus to my song. It says, "Fly, butterfly, take me to the sun." And that was her gift to me, to enshrine those words and that image on the back of her left shoulder, and to give God the glory in that, you know, I was the butterfly. That's how that song was written. I was transformed that Easter Sunday from this caterpillar that's, you know, basically rubbing his belly on the ground, to a soaring, free, colorful, beautiful, I get choked up talking about it. Butterfly, and that butterfly can fly and can go wherever it wants to go. And in this instance, it's to be with the Son of God. So I would ask my friend Linda if she could please play the title track from my CD called Take Me to the Sun.
Take me to the sun.
was Take Me to the Sun. I want to give special credit and shout out to my friend Stephanie Storch for her beautiful harmony on that recording. Again, and that recording and all the others can be sampled or purchased on the website. It's robandersonmusic.com. So I encourage you to take a listen, sample some of the songs, and I just pray and hope that that they will minister to you and that you would share them. So thank you for that. One of the things I wanted to touch on this evening was some personal testimony stories. And I'm not unique by any means in having things happen to me that weren't so pleasant, but that allowed me to come out of it. God allowed it, the trial, and allowed the blessing to come afterward. And I would tell you that you cannot have a testimony without the test. The first four letters of testimony is test, T-E-S-T. And we are tested. You know, we are tested all the time, and I guess it's a matter of perspective and hindsight on how we view it and what is the purpose in it. And sometimes it's very, very difficult to see it at the time of the trial, at the time of the pain, at the time of the catastrophe in your life. And we're, none of us are immune to it, are we? We are all imperfect beings. We all have things happen to us, and this truly is not heaven. God has blessed us with his creation here on earth, but this is not heaven, and we are not immune to those trials. One of the things that happened to me during this test or trial was kind of the aftermath of it all. If anyone has ever suffered back pain, specifically sciatic pain, and you understand the discomfort therein lies that ailment. The best way I can describe sciatic pain is, well, basically the nerve is pinched by a herniated disc in your lower back, and that sciatic nerve runs down your buttock and down the back of your leg down to your feet. And the best way I can describe it is someone taking a taser and shooting extremely hot lightning through the back of your leg. That, I guess that's the only way I can really describe it. It is so debilitating and so painful. My wife had gotten it too a couple of times, and she had exclaimed that it was worse than childbirth, which is quite a bit to say for pain. And I have no idea what that's like, thankfully. But, you know, to hear that from my wife, I guess, put some credence as to the discomfort that I was in for almost 6 months, every single day for 6 months. Now, I don't have any disability. I don't have any paid time off. I don't have any perks. I'm a small business owner, and if I don't work, I simply don't get paid. And so, you know, there was a long time where I had to will myself out of bed. I had to get help getting dressed. I had to drive with my left foot in order to get to my job site. And I had to eat every meal standing up for almost 6 months. I couldn't sit. I couldn't stand still for very long. I couldn't lay down. I literally had to sleep almost kind of halfway sitting up. And it was miserable. And it seemed like it would never go away. I had spent thousands of dollars, thousands, on different treatments, from acupuncture to massage to chiropractic to shots directly into my spine, and nothing worked. And that ailment was the result of some pretty difficult things happening to me prior to that manifestation in my physical body. Not easy to talk about, but I think there's a willingness for me to share, to be transparent to you folks, because these type of trials, as I said, no one is immune to. And as much as we try and sweep things under the rug to try and maintain some kind of privacy and pretend that all is well. It is my hope in sharing this testimony with you folks that someone out there is going through a similar thing and that they can be helped and blessed by it. About a decade ago, roughly 10 years ago or so, there was a few things that happened in my life in sequence with each other or coinciding with each other that I just felt like I was being piled upon almost to the point of contemplating suicide. It was a mess. One of the things that happened was in my financial world, myself and business partner, my good friend Tim, he and I had purchased a few homes, and as contractors, we were looking to fix them up and sell them for a profit. And we did flip two homes for a decent bit of money, and we didn't get rich on them by any means, but we were learning. We were learning, and we made a little bit of money, which was great. In the United States here in 2008, there was a housing crash, and basically the bubble burst, and inflated prices and inflated values of homes crashed to the point where some of these homes were pennies on the dollar as far as their worth. And we got caught in that. We had bought a home in late 2006, I think the end of 2006, and fixed it up in 2007. And the bubble burst, I think, later in 2007. And we were sitting with this beautiful home that we tore apart and put back together with, you know, really, really nice appointments and fixtures. And the house was beautiful. The bubble burst, and the house—it's a house that we wanted to sell for over $300,000. we couldn't hardly give it away. We didn't pay ourselves a dime, but we had to pay other contractors that helped us. We had to pay our mortgage. We had to pay our electric bill, our gas bill, our insurance, everything that goes along with owning a home. We had to pay on a monthly basis. And it's unoccupied, and we have no money coming in for it. We are losing, we calculated, approximately $200. And this house was on the market for a year and a half. So you can do the math. Not counting the money that we did not make as doing all the work that we did, because we didn't pay ourselves anything. We lost together $100,000 on this house. I tell people the only good thing about it was I had a partner in the loss, so I only lost $50,000. But, you know, that money that I was hoping to make on this project was to help my kids get through college. And on the contrary, it put me significantly in debt, in my own home in jeopardy, because I had a second mortgage, my own home, in order to pay for the loss in this house. We finally sold it on Valentine's Day, 2008. Called it the Valentine's Day Massacre because it wasn't pretty, and it affected both of us greatly, of course, not only a financial sense, but just our, you know, emotionally and mentally, and it was a very hard pill to swallow. And along the, that, about that same time, my son, who's the oldest of my two kids, had gotten into drugs, and I knew the signs. I grew up in a very large family. I have seven siblings. The first two were girls, the next six were boys. So, you know, there was a lot of chaos and trouble in our house. And one of the troubles that we had was some of my brothers were on drugs and to this day are still trying to get out of the consequences of them, of that falling into that. And so when I knew my son was on drugs, one of the hardest things I had to do, I picked him up, put him in the car and took him to the police station, basically turned him in. And the paraphernalia that I found, and that was extremely difficult and extremely stressful. And unfortunately, it kind of backfired on me because it took a long time for him to get over the using he was doing. But again, took an extreme toll on me emotionally, mentally. So that was strike number two. And strike number three was... my wife was unfaithful to me. during this time of all this turmoil, I was not evidently very easy to live with. And I think my wife got tired of the man who I had become, and she found herself being with someone else. And again, pretty difficult to swallow. Now, the way I found out was even more difficult. I had had some pain, some issues when I would use the bathroom. Thought perhaps it was a bladder infection, and I saw the doctor, and the doctor told me that he was 99% sure that it was a sexually transmitted disease. And he had asked me if I had ever been, or if I'd recently been with partner or a new partner. I'm like, I've been with one woman my entire life. I said, that's ridiculous. It can't be that. And he suggested if it wasn't me, that it had to be my wife. And so I had to try and wrap my head around that one. And he prescribed a medication for me to take for, I don't know, for gonorrhea or one of those sexually transmitted diseases. I don't know. It was on the Friday of Memorial weekend, and he didn't want me to suffer through the long weekend. I probably wouldn't have got my test results back for several days. So he said, just have this prescription filled because I'm almost positive this is what you have. So I had the prescription filled and started taking the medication. And in the meantime, I had to confront my wife about it and told her how I found out. And, well, let's just say things got pretty messy. And again, I share this with you because I'm certain that there are some people going through a similar thing. And I just want to let you know that God's in it, regardless of what you currently think or whatever status you currently are at in terms of that relationship or that disintegration of the relationship. But I think it's important, again, to tell folks, to minister to them, to let them know that, you know, things can be okay. Now, at the time, things weren't very okay, obviously. It was a very traumatic thing to confront. And certainly, when I confronted my wife, who's a very, well, let's just say she's very independent. And I would say I get the feeling sometimes that she doesn't maybe need me so much because she's so independent. But that night that I found out what happened, and she became hysterical to the point where I thought she would hurt herself. And I thought, you know, this person that I've been married to for this many years needs me. She needs me more now than she's ever needed me, but yet she just betrayed me in such a way that was worthy of divorcing her. And so I had a real conflict, but I knew in my spirit that I had to forgive her. And forgive her, you know, immediately. You know, the thought that went through my head was, you know, as Jesus is getting beaten and getting his robe stripped off and getting this crown of thorns smashed into his head and is being nailed to a cross, and he's forgiving these people that wrongly accused him, torturing him, that are killing him, and he's asking God to forgive them at that very moment. And it just dawned on me, who am I to not forgive when my Lord has forgiven me every sin, past, present, and future, to not forgive? Now, it wasn't an easy thing to do, but I knew it had to be done. I knew it had to be done immediately, not only for the sake of my family, which, by the way, was my biggest concern, was my kids. I did not want my kids to grow up in a broken family, and it was vital for me to confront this in a godly way. And so I bit the bullet, and I did what God led me to do, and I forgave her. Now, forgiveness is really, I think, an important thing for the other person who has wronged you, but I would tell you this, that forgiveness is vitally important to you, the person that is forgiving, because it lets you off the hook as far as that suffering. When we are angry, when we are bitter, it literally swallows us up and starts killing us slowly. It digests us basically. And to be able to forgive, to free yourself from that bitterness and anger is vitally important to the person who was wronged. Now, not all the time, you know, do you have to say reconcile with the person that, that hurt you, whether it was someone that molested you, whether it was someone that abused you in some way, whether it was someone that cheated on you. Any number of ways that you can be wrong, that you can hold a grudge against a person. You don't have to necessarily make amends with them and be buddies with them or stay married to them or whatever. But the importance, I guess, of forgiveness that I'm trying to convey here is what it does to you, the person that was wronged, that there is just such freedom and mercy in that. And I would just encourage anybody that has had something terrible like that happen to them, that you take a moment to pray, as hard as it might seem, to forgive that person, and your whole world will change and open up and free you from all that pain. And I can assure you it's not going to be easy, but it will happen. It will certainly happen. So back to my incident, you know, we began to heal very, very slowly. Trust is certainly something that is difficult to come by, especially when it is broken and shattered. And it's still a work in progress all these years later. But one of the things that occurred to me, and it just made me laugh at the time, that God, it's just amazing. I had mentioned that the doctor had prescribed a medication for a sexually transmitted disease. And he was 99% sure that it was. Well, I got a phone call the following Wednesday. So this is some 5 or 6 days later. And the doctor said to me, I can't believe what I'm about to tell you, but you don't have a sexually transmitted disease. And I was 99% sure that you did. And I just kind of giggled. I laughed. I'm like, God, your hand was all over this. That there was trouble and you found a way to confront it and hit it head on. And so it's just amazing how God works sometimes through even the most painful of situations, sometimes especially in the most painful of situations. You know, God is faithful. God is so faithful. We are the ones, we're the prodigal ones. We are the ones that fall away from God. Sometimes God feels like he's so far away. God, why are you so far away? God, why won't you hear me? And God is always there. It is us as human beings. We are the flounderers. We are the naysayers. We are the unbelievers at times. And I would just tell you this. If you feel like at this point in your life that God is far away, I would find a way to start making amends with him and to establish that relationship. Because, again, you will be amazed at how God speaks to you, how God works in your life. I'll touch on that a little bit more later in my final segment, but I did want to share that testimony with you about what happened, those three very, very upsetting things that happened in a very short period of time, translated into this horrific physical condition. I've mentioned my friend Maria a number of times on this broadcast, again, the one who was supposed to actually be here with you this evening. And I went to counseling with her. And when I first went into her office, she suggested to me that my problem wasn't physical, that it was spiritual. And I almost started to laugh in her face. I'm like, lady, you don't know what you're talking about. But obviously she did. And through a lot of counseling, through a lot of prayer, through a lot of scripture, I would say after seeing her for about 2 months, finally that sciatic had subsided, and it wasn't anything done through a doctor's office. It was done through spiritual healing, and praise God that it happened. I remember crying out to God one Sunday morning before I went to church, where I would literally have to lay in the back seat in order to be transported to church, but I kept going. And before the service started, I'm crying out to God, you know, God, tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. And I said that to him three times. And audibly, I heard him say to me three times back, he said, rest in me and recover. Rest in me and recover. Rest in me and recover. And I can't tell you what a dramatic experience that was for me, because it's very rare that I hear God speak audibly to me. Sometimes it's a heart thing. Sometimes it's discernment. Sometimes it's through the wisdom of a Christian friend. But to have him speak audibly was just awe-inspiring. It was amazing. And again, through the help of Maria, through the spiritual hearing, through crying out to him, through just finally getting that answer, to rest in him, to stop trying to manipulate every single thing in my life and to surrender it. And I was healed. I was healed from this horrific sciatic syndrome that I had had, like I said, every single day for almost 6 months. And so, again, God was faithful, but it took time for me to be faithful enough to trust him. One of the songs that I had mentioned earlier in the broadcast, it's called I Am the Vine. And this is the song that I wrote immediately after being healed as I was reading through John 15. And Jesus is the vine. God is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. We cannot survive if we are cut off of the vine. Again, likening to the analogy there that we are branches connected to a grapevine, and all the sap and moisture that runs through the branches, that gets to the leaves, that produces that fruit, can only happen when that vine is attached, or when that branch, rather, is attached to that pine. And our Father is the vine dresser. God prunes us, right? There are some dead branches that have to go away, and even some live ones that have to go away. It has to be pruned in order to get the highest yield of harvest and of blessing. And sometimes God has to prune us. He's got to prune things out of us. He's got to make things painful for us at times. But in the end, it's worth it because of the harvest that we yield, the fruit that we bear, is sometimes only through the pain that we have to endure. But he's with us every step of the way. So the song I wrote, I Am the Vine, came from a terrible time in my life. And I hope you enjoy it. Linda, I would ask you to play the song, I Am the Vine.
I am the vine, and you are the branches. I love you, you're mine. I give second chances. Abide in my care. I'll prune you and shape you. Much fruit will you bear. I'll never forsake you. Have you ever tried to make it on your own? Apart from me, you nothing, no. I have come that you would never be alone, to save you from unquenching fire. I am the vine, and you are the branches. I love you, you're second chances. Abide in my care. I'll prune you and shape you. Much fruit will you bear. I'll never forsake you. Have you ever tried to pray? Thank you. If you die to yourself, then you shall live abundantly. I am the vine, and you are the branches. I love you, you're mine. I give second chances. Abide in my care. I'll prune you and shape you. Much fruit will you bear. I'll never forsake you. Much fruit will you bear. I'll never forsake you. I am the vine.
And that was I Am the Vine from my CD called Take Me to the Sun. Again, samples and downloads can be heard and purchased at robandersonmusic.com. And I want to just give a special thank you to my friend Tina Davis for her awesome piano work in that song. So I guess the last thing, folks, that I would just want to touch on quickly, and I already did a little bit, my testimony was just putting our trust in Jesus. And basically, you know, that can be summarized in one word, and that word is surrender. You know, as human beings, we do try and manipulate so many circumstances in our lives, don't we? We try and we have an outcome that is fixed in our head, and we're going to do everything and anything to see that outcome come to fruition. And sometimes it's not God's will. Maybe a lot of times it's not God's will, but yet we plunder and we push through and we try and make it happen anyway. We don't consider that God has a different path or a different plan for us sometimes. And I'm guilty of it as much as anybody else is, trust me. And you know, the next song that I'm going to introduce to you later, I've Placed My Trust in You, is a testament of that notion that I've made a ton of mistakes and tried to do things out of God's will. And so I'm there with you. Trust me. I remember I saw several years ago kind of a funny refrigerator magnet that, and I'm paraphrasing, he was basically said something to the effect of, "Good morning, this is God. I will be directing your life today. And no, I don't need your help." Which I think is awesome. It's just so funny. You know, we put God in this box, and like sometimes that he's a genie, or sometimes he's a, you know, a Santa Claus of sorts or whatever. And, you know, God is in control of the universe. He's control of something as vast as the universe and something so small as our heart beating. You know, how do we stay alive? What do? We place our trust in Jesus that we are going to go to bed tonight and that we're going to wake up tomorrow morning. We have no control over that. God has us in the palm of his hands. He makes sure that our heart is beating. And when he decides it's not going to beat anymore, he will be the decider in that as well. So we might think we have a lot of things that we have control over. And folks, in my opinion, there's so little that we do. And the stuff that we do have control over, we have such a clutch on such a tight-fisted clutch on, and sometimes that surrender, that release is what he's asking. When he asked me audibly, he said, you know, rest in me and recover. It was such a simple request, but yet it was so difficult at the same time to surrender. I think especially for men, I think it's very difficult to surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And why is that? Is it because we are in darkness? Part of it. Is it because we don't trust the decisions that Jesus is going to make for us and that ours are better or more important to us? Maybe some of that too. But whatever the reason is, we have to take God out of this little box and become a servant of him instead of him trying to make him a servant of us. And I think a lot of us folks, whether they want to admit it or not, do that. They'll say, God, you know, do this for me kind of thing. And, you know, God loves it when we pray. We are to pray without ceasing. And sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no. But we have to trust him. We have to know that what he decides for us is what is best for us. And that even though it might be something that we really want, maybe we're not ready for it yet. It's all in God's timing. Maybe it's a completely different path that he has for us. Maybe it's a whole new set of skills that we don't even know that we possess, that he's going to put out in front of our eyes at some point. So it's an adventure with God, but it's also one that we kind of take our hands off the steering wheel of our lives and just know that he's got us, that he's got everything orchestrated, that the right people are going to come into our lives at the right time. And sometimes he wants us to take the focus away from ourselves. To serve other people is perhaps the best way to be Christ-like. And it's really hard, I think, to have a servant's heart when all we think about is ourselves, our stuff, our future, our everything. You know, we, as humans, put so much import into what we are doing or saying or feeling. And I think it's hard to have compassion for other people, to be Christ to other people when we are in a mode of selfishness. And God will open up the doors to that too when you surrender, especially when you've gone through pain, that you can help minister someone else through that pain. One of the greatest lines, one of the greatest scriptures that I've read is Romans 8:28, which basically says, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. And what does that really mean? All things work together for good. That means bad stuff, good stuff, in-between stuff. Everything that happens in our lives work together for good, meaning it's purposeful. Why does bad things happen to good people? Well, it's purposeful in some way. We don't know what it's going to be. But it's purposeful, and it's not our job to necessarily ask why all the time. Why does this happen? Why did that happen? But to say, Lord, how can this help other people? Because invariably it will, if you can be transparent enough to help somebody through a trial that you've been through yourself. We are his messengers here. We are his conduits here on earth. And, you know, as a people, to be Christ-like is really to surrender our own identity sometimes, take on the identity of Christ. And that's a beautiful notion, but one that's difficult to abide by. I think it takes a lot of courage and humility to surrender, to put your life in God's hands and to completely trust him. But know that he knows all. You know, he's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. And there's no deed or thought that we've ever done or will do that he doesn't know about. So, you know, I would really encourage people to you know, to have the courage to surrender and to put yourselves in the hands of our Lord. And he won't disappoint. It might not happen in the timing that you want. It might not be exactly what you envision, but I do believe that it will be better than you could have ever imagined. So I would really appreciate again, and I'll just offer thanks to Linda, my new friend, for allowing me on this broadcast and to give some of my testimony and some of my story and share some of my music. And again, to my good friend, Maria Schaefer, FIY Ministries here in Cedarburg. And again, if you're interested in the music, I would encourage you to visit robandersonmusic.com. And I hope you enjoy the music. And I just want to pray a blessing over everyone that's listening to this broadcast tonight, particularly those who are hurting. I hope that some of these stories and songs have encouraged you, and I pray for your well-being. I pray for that you would be drawn closer to God through this, you know, little one-hour snippet of things that I've had to offer. And I appreciate, Lord, so much that you used me, again, as your messenger, as your conduit, that you would give this opportunity to me to help minister to other people. And, Lord, I thank you for that opportunity. I give blessings again to all those who are listening. And I bid you all a very, very good night. And I would ask again, Linda, if you would play the song, I Have Placed My Trust in You.
I reach, I climb, I strive for perfection. I look, I seek, I search for direction. When will I learn? To you I need to turn. In my weakness I am strong. And your love, it fills me. And your strength, it wills me. And your death, it kills me. And I am born again, anew. Cause I have placed my trust in you. We push, we shove, press for position. We ride, we run, we chase our ambition. By now we should know that we are not our own. No, no, we've been purchased by your blood. And your love, it fills me. And your strength, it wills me. And your death, it kills me. And I am born again, anew, yeah. 'Cause I have placed my trust in you. Oh, you are who you are. I am who I am. I'm a wolf clothed like a sheep, and you're the perfect lamb. And though my fleece is crimson, my heart is like a stone. When you reside within me, my fleece turns white as stone. You teach, you feed, you heal. Afflicted, you give, you bless, you save. I have placed my trust in you. Oh, I have placed my trust in you. Oh, I have placed my trust in you.
In the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. That is a promise from our God. What a powerful song, Robert. That was fabulous. All these songs and your transparency. Thank you. Is there anything you would like to say before we sign off?
Well, I guess the one thing I would want to say is God loves you. God loves all of you. And I pray for those that don't believe that, because there was a time in my life where I didn't believe it. And how people get through the miseries that life can give sometimes that don't have God at their side and at their disposal through prayer and through community, a church, and whatever other means, I think it can be a miserable existence. And I just pray for anybody that would suggest that God doesn't love them or they're not worthy of his love to know that he's your daddy, he's your Abba, he's your father, and he loves you more than you can ever know. And so I just pray for anybody that is going through that mind game, that lie from the enemy, that you would come to rest in his love, like he asked me to come to rest directly. And so I would leave you with that thought and leave your listeners with that thought and just give you a heartfelt thank you for allowing me to share what I had to share tonight and for hoping that the music has ministered to those who have listened.
Well, I open the door to Gatekeepers Ministry radio broadcast to you at any time. You got my number? Just give me a call and we'll work it out like we did this one.
That's great. Thank you so much, Linda.
I appreciate it. I'm
honored. And blessings.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you,
okay,
too.
Hope to talk
and your
soon.
Family.
Thanks.
Okay.
All righty. Take care. And
well,
goodbye to all your listeners. Thank you.
I just trust and believe God, and all I want to do is say, only what you do for Christ will last. We aired this broadcast live tonight to honor and give glory to God. Anybody that writes worship music that would lead us into the presence of the Lord or that would just relax your soul listening to it is a blessing. And I know that these songs that we heard tonight were all done as unto the glory of the Lord, whether it came through pain, misunderstanding, or whatever, or just a total love for God, just like he wrote that song because of the love he has for his wife. Jesus has that kind of love for us, and he tells us to trust him. So I've learned to trust in God, to trust in Jesus. I've put too much trust in other people, and not even a little bit, but a lot of trust in people. And there's nowhere in the Bible that says to trust in people, to trust in men, to trust in women. Oh, yeah, we can trust our kids to go to the store with a couple dollars and get us something for our groceries. That's just a natural, common trust that we all have. But the kind of trust that God talks about is trusting your life with him, trusting every move in your life with him, trusting in him for what he says in his word, that he will bring it to pass, trusting in him. because he's the only one that can see us through the trials of the day, through the disappointments. He's the only one that can give us discernment, to discern the enemy, to discern demonic, to discern the demons, to discern good from evil, to discern evil from good, from to discern lies from the truth. Oh, my gosh. There's enough lying going on in the White House that we don't even have to discern that. That's like simple. So we give God all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. We know that no one lives in the White House without God say so, whether it's a devil or not. So we give God the praise and we just bless his name. Only what you do for Christ will last. So think about it. Before you do anything, just say to yourself, is this going to glorify God? Is this going to hurt somebody? Because hurting someone else does not glorify God. So I just want to bless you tonight with this broadcast. We're on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. All our broadcasts is on demand. You're more than welcome to go to that website and just go through all the ministries that we have already broadcasted over the last few years and enjoy and be blessed. So God bless you. God bless you with God dreams tonight. This is Evangelist Linda Cazares saying good night, and I love you.